We're thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us. We trust the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. We are opening our service with the West Virginia Trio singing for us, The Blood-Bought Church.
Since I gave all to Jesus, to His kingdom I belong. I'm a member of His blood-bought strong. When He stretches hand of mercy, He made right my every wrong. Now I sing the great redemption song.
Father, we're truly thankful today for the love and mercy of God, for the goodness of God, and we're thankful for the opportunity of sharing the gospel with this precious congregation today. They are unseen to us, but they are not unseen to you. You see everyone in our congregation today, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit will be able to use us, to use this service, to make it a blessing to precious eternity-bound souls. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue the musical part of our service with the song, The Church's Jubilee.
Thank you.
subject for today's broadcast, Paul's ministry at Corinth. Our text of scripture and the basis of our thoughts are based on Acts chapter 18, verse 1 through 18. However, I'll only read the first verse. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Paul was on his second missionary journey with Silas and Timothy in Asia Minor when he had a vision of a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Macedonia was in Europe, so Paul came to come over unto Macedonia, and he crossed into Europe. The first place they ministered was in Philippi, where Lydia, a seller of purple, and others were converted. Also, where Paul and Silas were beaten and put in jail because they had delivered a woman from the power of Satan. And God sent an earthquake and shook the jail, and their bonds were loosened, and the jailer came in and wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved. And so the jailer and his household were converted there. From there they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and some were converted, but the Jews stirred up trouble, so they went down to Berea. Jews came down from Thessalonica and caused trouble there at Berea, so Paul left and traveled on down to Athens, and from there he traveled to Corinth. At Corinth, Paul met Aquila and Priscilla, who had been expelled from Rome, and they met Apollos also and taught him more perfectly in the scriptures. Paul joined with them as they were tent makers. Now, Corinth was a very immoral city. However, there was a synagogue in the city, and Paul went there every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Silas and Timothy rejoined him there, bringing good news from the church in Thessalonica. This prompted Paul to write to the Thessalonian brethren, and we have it in our Bible, 1 Thessalonians. Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 5 of our text today, Acts 18. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." That's verse 6. Paul went into the home of justice, one who feared God. One of Paul's early converts was Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, who believed on the Lord with all of his house. Paul met opposition from the Jews. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." That's Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth and speak, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should hear you, bear with you. But if it be a question of worship and of names of your law, look ye unto it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Acts 18, verses 11 through 15. This gives us some insight into the message Paul was preaching to the people. First of all, he was making them to know and to understand that the old covenant law was no longer in force, that there was a new covenant, a far better covenant than the old covenant was. And this the Jews objected to, but there was no need of animal sacrifices or the observance of other days and so on and so forth. The one that the prophet said would come to be the Messiah, their Messiah, had come. This the Apostle Paul made known to the saints, people there at Corinth. They were still unknown and uninformed in regard to the Messiah. But Paul lets them know that the Messiah had come, and that the one known as Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He had come and gave his life, being crucified on a cross, that he rose from the dead on the third day, and was the only Savior there was. Yes, Paul let them know there was one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He also let them know, as Peter said there on the day of Pentecost, there is no other name given under men, among men, whereby you may be saved, except the name of Jesus Christ. Remember now, Corinth was a heathen worshiping place. And here comes the Apostle Paul preaching to them about a man who came into this world, this Messiah, and he suffered and bled and died on the cross and rose again the third day, and this was and is the Savior of the world. And that there is no other Savior. There are no other gods but the true and the living God. All the gods of the nations were just idols. And God was the true and the living God, and Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. That he made it possible for them to be saved from their sins and live a holy life. Now this was entirely new to them. It's something that they had never heard before. The thought of living a holy life free from all known sin. But Paul let the people there at Corinth, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, he let them know that the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not come to build a church for people to join. Jesus did say in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the angel did tell Joseph, when he revealed to him about Mary, he did say that you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from, not in, from their sins. And Paul was bringing this gospel message to the people there at Corinth. And he also let them know that the literal temple in Jerusalem was no longer God's dwelling place on earth. No, and a lot of people need to realize and understand that today. The literal temple in Jerusalem was no longer God's dwelling place on earth. but his redeemed people were and are the temple of God. God's dwelling in his people, his redeemed people today. We who know God and have the Holy Spirit abiding in us, we are the temple of God today. And God will never honor another literal temple. Well, I know the millennialists want you to believe that there's going to be another temple built there in Jerusalem, and they'll be offering animal sacrifices, and God will honor it, but not so. God will never honor another literal building, and he'll never dwell in it, because he has a temple today, and his temple that he is now dwelling in is God's redeemed people, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is building his church now, and they could be a part of it, being born of the Spirit of God. Now, Paul met much opposition there, but he also persuaded some to believe the message and established a church there. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. Acts 18:18. Though Corinth was a wicked city, also a worshipper of idols, and had what was called holy prostitutes there, who supported the false religion by their illicit acts and ways, but Paul let them know that there was a true God, a true Savior, and a true church. Paul, through the power of the gospel, established a Church of God congregation there. It's only by the preaching of the gospel and the true gospel that you can have a true Church of God congregation. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth." And when Paul left Corinth and later wrote a letter, he addressed that letter to the Church of God, which is at Corinth. So it was through the preaching of the truth of the Word of God that Paul was able to establish a Church of God congregation there. And all her members are redeemed and triumphed over sin. No, there's no sinners in God's church. There's no hypocrites in God's church. Only the blood bought. And no earthly church book contains the blood-bought church's name. God retains their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is in heaven. Yes, the Lamb's Book of Life is God's church book. And whenever you are saved, God will enroll your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the way you get it there, is by being saved, by being born again. And the way that you keep it there is by living a righteous and a godly life. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It is true they had some problems there at Corinth, and that's one of the reasons Paul wrote them a letter. And there was some division there, but Paul asked them, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul baptized for you? Was he redeemed for you? Apollos?" No. Jesus Christ is the one who was and is still building his church. And Jesus himself prayed in John 17 that we all be one, even as he and the Father are one. And the Apostle Paul told the church there at Corinth that there should be no division among them, that they should all speak the same thing. Though they had these problems, Paul endeavored to clear them up by letter, and he also returned to Corinth and the second time and ministered unto them. Now, these problems were solvable because they were willing to listen to instruction and did not continue to exist in a divided state, and God would not have his people divided and scattered today. Paul carried a burden for them as he visited them a second time, and he also sent Timothy to help them clear up some of their problems, and by two letters that he wrote to them. And so a Church of God congregation was established there because the Lord led Paul there to preach the gospel. And the same gospel that Paul preached there at Corinth, also at Philippi and Thessalonica. In fact, he preached the same gospel everywhere he went. He didn't change the message from place to place or city to city. And that same gospel needs to be preached to the world today. I realize there are many religions in the world, and some of these religions have what they would call their holy book, but the only true holy book is the Bible. Yes, the inspired Word of God. And that is the gospel message. The gospel is the good news. And you find it in the inspired holy Word of God, the book that we call the Bible. And I say this is what needs to be preached to the entire world. And if it is preached and obeyed, it will bring unity among the redeemed. The Spirit of God and the Word of God will never divide Christians. It has to be another spirit that divides and separates Christians. So, beloved, Paul was a man who preached the gospel not only at Corinth, but in various parts of the world. And when he was ready to give his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Yes, he kept the faith. He didn't change it from place to place, but he kept the faith and he preached the truth to the people wherever he went. And again, I say, that is what needs to be preached today. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these scriptures and these thoughts to this precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit be able to work through the Word and bless hearts and enlighten souls. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, I encourage you to write us and let us know. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That address again, The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number, 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. In fact, there are a number of issues there. Or you may also listen to this broadcast again if you would like, or other broadcasts, for we do have an archive there of our broadcasts. We also invite you, if at all possible, to join us in our services as they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our Wednesday evening service at 7. We invite you to be with us in any of our services that you possibly can. Now we thank you for being with us on today's Way of Truth broadcast, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide, is our sincere prayer.